on track in the book of Romans. Chapter 14, going to speak tonight on questionable things. We spoke on questionable things last time. We're going to continue on that theme. Chapter 14, verse 13, Romans 14, 13. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let's stop right here and pray. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to expound the Word of God tonight. And I pray you'll help me make it clear and practical. And I pray the Spirit of God will be our teacher tonight. May the Spirit of God give me the right words to say. And, if anybody comes in here tonight that's discouraged, anybody comes in here that's got a problem, a burden, I pray the Spirit of God will lift our spirits and give them a great blessing tonight. If anybody were to come in here tonight that's not saved, well, we pray to get saved even tonight. We pray all these things now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this chapter, Romans 14, deals with doubtful disputations. If you look at chapter 14, verse 1, chapter 14, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. You go to chapter 15, verse 1, we then that are strong, so Paul is identifying himself as someone that was strong in the faith. I mean, he'd been preaching a long time, he was an apostle, he started churches, he was strong. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. So there's a contrast between strong and weak. And when you get to chapter 14, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, like a believer, he's in the faith, but he's weak in the faith, receive you. In other words, we're going to take him in, receive him, but not get mixed up with doubtful disputations. Or you could say questionable things. Things that the Bible's not clear about. It always amazes me how some people can get into a big argument, a big debate over something the Bible's not even clear on. I think I mentioned last time when I preached on this subject, I guess a few weeks ago, because two Wednesdays in a row I was in Florida, I guess right before that, people get very argumentative about Christmas, or Easter, or things like that, and they make a big, big thing about that. They get so upset about it. I don't see what the fuss is about, to be honest with you. Now, if I were to come up to the pulpit dressed like Santa Claus, and then you're right, people have a right to be a little offended, right? But I mean, but some people just take it too far. You can't even mention the word Christmas, you know. It's a pagan name, that's a pagan holiday, you know, and they get all worked up over it. These are doubtful disputations. Now, certain things clearly are wrong. We all know that. Certain things are definitely wrong. Go to chapter 13, verse 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. We all know adultery is wrong. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. I hope Waffle knows that's wrong now. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. These things are wrong. Okay? And then look over at verse number 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Rioting and drunkenness are wrong. You see? Not in chambering and wantonness, that's wrong. Not in strife and envy, and that's wrong. Certain things are clearly wrong. And when the Bible is clear on something, we got to take our stand. And don't move. You see? But there are certain areas of conduct that are not that clear. There are certain areas of conduct on which the Bible is not at all clear. And in that case, we have to be flexible. We have to be reasonable. We shouldn't get into a big fight with people, separate from people, and look down our nose at people because they don't see eye to eye with us. And I think Romans 14 provides some helpful guidelines. Now, the big two things in this chapter is food and special days. Right? But you can apply it to other things too. You can apply it to other things. Right? The New Testament teaches that all such matters as foods and days are in themselves indifferent. Alright? The Bible's very clear on that. And the New Testament also teaches the importance of Christian charity and love. In fact, you remember back in chapter 13, verse 8, is very important. He says, owe no man anything. That's a good one there for your friend Jesse there, brother. Owe no man anything. Amen. Better tell it there. You tell Pastor Barker said that. Yeah. Owe no man anything. But to love one another. There you go. Love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What law is that? That's the law of love. Amen. You see? And then look also at verse number 9. I already read to you the Ten Commandments. I shall not commit adultery. I shall not kill. Look at the end of that verse. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you love your neighbor, you're not going to want to offend him. If you know it bothers him, if you're eating certain meats, then be a good fellow and eat herbs. Amen? Yeah. Don't offend him. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And then go down to chapter 14, verse 15. Chapter 14, verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, if your brother's offended because you're eating meat and he's on a strict diet and he feels it's wrong to eat that meat, you're not being charitable. You see, you're not being loving. You're being very selfish. Can't you abstain from that when you're around him? That's not asking too much, is it? You see? Now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat. You see, that's a pretty strong statement. You can destroy that brother. If you're so determined to have it your way, and I can eat meat, I have liberty. You do have liberty, but think about the law of love.
Amen.
You see? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So, to summarize this chapter, some things are in the Bible's not clear on. What foods you can eat, what foods you can't eat, which days you have to celebrate, which days you can just ignore it. We ignore most of these so-called holy days. Certainly we ignore the Jewish days, Yom Kippur and all that. We don't have anything to do with that. But even the so-called Christian holy days, I don't give a hoot about Lent or Advent or Good Friday. As Baptists, we don't really think that's important. But if it's important to somebody else, I'm not going to argue with him. I'm not going to make a fuss with him or argue over something like that. You see? So the New Testament teaches that these things like food and days are in themselves indifferent. And the Bible also teaches the importance of Christian charity and love. Love your neighbor. Think about him, his feelings. Don't offend him needlessly. You see? In fact, if you look at the word love in chapter 13, verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. That word love is the same exact word translated charitably in Romans 14, 15. You see? Now walkest thou not charitably. Charity and love, oftentimes same word in the original Greek language. Well, we have an earnest exhortation here. Look at chapter 14, verse 13. We have an earnest exhortation. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. We shouldn't judge somebody. Like, he's not a good Christian because he eats these foods. Or, he's not a good Christian because he doesn't observe these days. See, let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. But judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, why is this so important? Because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday. And because we're all going to stand there, you and I, we're all going to be there, because we're all going to... What does it say that? Well, it says it right here. Look at verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we're all going to give an account to God. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, let's not judge one another anymore. Leave the judging to God.
Amen.
We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? Now, we also see here we should determine not to put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in our brother's way. Verse number 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That is something we should be mindful of. Is this going to offend my brother? Is this going to be a stumbling block? You've got to be careful with that, you see? Some people don't even think about that. Well, they know, well, I can do this. I'm allowed. I have my liberty. I can do this. I can go here. I can do that. Think about your brother. You see, that's very, very important. W.H. Griffith Thomas said, it is a primary duty to avoid anything which will cause a shock and still more a fall. So your behavior, your conduct could shock a weaker brother and even be an occasion for him to fall. Yeah, think about that. The Apostle Paul said he was persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean in itself. Look at verse 14. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So Paul said, it's not unclean to me. The Lord has showed that to me. But to a weaker brother, it's unclean. Therefore, I've got to be sensitive to his feelings. I don't want to offend him. I don't want to put a stumbling block in his way. You see what Paul's saying? He said, if a Christian considers certain things to be unclean, then to him it's unclean. And no matter how much you try to reason with him, he thinks it's unclean. We've got to be sensitive to that. We don't want to put a stumbling block in his way. But some Christians are like, well, I don't care what he thinks. It's his problem. He's got to get over it. That's not charitable.
Yeah.
You see? It says here in verse 15, now you're walking, that now walkest thou not charitably. You're not being very charitable, not being very considerate, not being very kind when you talk like that. Look also at chapter 14, verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. I'm more along the lines of esteeming every day alike. The only thing I think is seeing the Bible is important is Sunday's the Lord's Day. All these other days don't mean anything to me. You know, well, it's Good Friday, or it's this day, or that day. Those days ain't meaningless to me. But Sunday's a large day, so that day is special. But all these other days don't mean anything to me. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day of life. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You have a position, you have a conviction, you take your stand. You're fully persuaded in your own mind. I'm fully persuaded in my mind. But even though I'm fully persuaded in my mind, I have to consider other people who might not be persuaded the same way I'm persuaded. That's what Paul's trying to say here. You see? That is what he's saying. Now, let me say something else, too, about this. In verse 14, chapter 14, verse 14, when Paul says, there's nothing unclean of itself, think of the context. In the context, he's speaking of questionable things. Doubtful disputations. He's not talking about things that are clearly unclean. Some things are definitely unclean. Pornography is unclean. A lot of junk on TV is unclean. Hollywood is unclean. You see? Dirty jokes, unclean. Some of you go to work, you got some guy at work, he's always saying bad things. Actually, he's got a dirty mouth. He's unclean. So some things are unclean. There are many, many things in this dirty world that are morally unclean. You see? But here, Paul is only referring to things that are morally neutral. Things that the Bible doesn't say are right or wrong. You see? That's what he's talking about. When Paul says there is nothing unclean of itself, he's speaking of these so-called questionable things. You see? He's not saying everything is okay, because we know some things are outright wrong. Unclean, dirty, immoral. You see? Paul is referring here to questionable things, and verse 14 should be understood in that context. Paul's point is that Christians are not defiled by eating foods which the Mosaic law called unclean. That's what he's saying. Verse 15. I know, I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. In other words, you want to have pork chops? Nothing wrong with that, amen? I like pork chops. I like bacon and eggs, amen? Yeah, and a ham sandwich once in a while. Now, nothing wrong with that. But if I have somebody coming over and they say, you know, the pig's a dirty animal, I can never eat pig. How can anybody eat pig? I'm not going to eat in front of him. You see? I wouldn't be very charitable, right? So I just give it up when he's around. Is that asking too much? I don't think so. You see? Nothing unclean. Now, in the Old Testament times, under Levitical law, the pork was forbidden. It was unclean. But now, in this dispensation, we're allowed to eat it. But you might have some convert with a Jewish background, and he says, you know what? I grew up in a strict, you know, Orthodox home, a kosher home. We never ate that kind of food. I still can't eat it. Well, we have to be mindful of that. Yeah. And be considerate of his feelings. You see? That's what Paul's trying to say here. Paul's point is that Christians are not defiled, not committing a sin, by eating foods which the Mosaic law called unclean. But he's also saying, but if you've got a weaker brother and he's offended at that, be considerate of his feelings. Don't put a stumbling block in his way. He's coming over your house, he walks in the door, I'm so glad you're here, I got a ham and cheese sandwich for you. You're going to look. That would be you know, kind of thoughtless, right? That would be kind of uncharitable, you see? Obviously, if you study this chapter, the emphasis is on eating or not eating certain foods. That's what Paul's talking about, really. That's the emphasis. Now, even though food is the emphasis, you can apply it to different things. You might feel liberty to do certain things that I wouldn't do, and vice versa, you see? But we have to be respectful of each other's convictions. Talking about questionable things here. But the emphasis on food, obviously. Look at chapter 14, verse 2. One man believeth he may eat all things. Another who's weak eateth herbs. And so he eats herbs. He's not going to eat any certain meats because it's wrong for him. You see? And then verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. So he that eateth pork chops, he shouldn't despise, he shouldn't criticize, he shouldn't condemn the man that's eating herbs. You see? And then, let not him which eateth not, the man that's eating herbs, he shouldn't judge him that eateth. Like, I thought he was a good Christian, but I found out he eats pork chops. Something wrong with that guy. You see? That's what Paul's saying here. The emphasis here is on food, obviously. Verse 15. Talking about nothing unclean in itself. Talking about food. And then verse number 17. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Verse 20. For meat, destroy not the work of God. Verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine. Verse number 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. So the emphasis is on eating or not eating certain foods. But we can, as I said, apply these principles. Back to food, though, hasn't been much of an issue in our church, or any church that I'm aware of, but it was certainly an issue back in Paul's day when most of the Christians had a Jewish background. This is a big issue. The Lord Jesus told Peter, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 15. Now, if you study the word common in that context there, that verse, common means unclean. It means defiled. It even could be translated profane. So the Lord is telling Peter, says, I'm not going to eat with them, those dirty Gentiles. I'm not going to sit down here with them. They're unclean. So the Lord had to show him. He said, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Don't you call that unclean. I cleansed it, you see. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, commanding to abstain from meats was a doctrine of devils. That's right. If you say you can't eat certain meats, that's a doctrine of devils. Now, 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5 says, for every creature of God, every creature, that includes shellfish, that includes pork, hello? Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Make sure you pray.
Amen.
Otherwise, you might get pork chop caught in your throat, and you might get choked to death. But the idea here is that every creature is good. But some people, you know, they're weak, and they just can't seem to come to terms with that. So we have to be sensitive to that. We don't want to offend them and so on. We are at liberty to eat whatever we want. We're at liberty to enjoy anything and everything that the Bible does not declare to be sinful. If the Bible is clearly says it's wrong, then obviously we have to abstain from that and avoid that. But the Bible does not say it's wrong, then we are at liberty. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. That we also have to consider fellow Christians. So while we are at liberty to enjoy all things and eat all types of food, we have to consider our fellow believers, particularly these weak brethren. Again, I want to point you back to Romans 14:15, where it says, but if thy brother be grieved, that means if your brother is upset, he's offended, you got him worked up here. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. He says, you're not being very loving or charitable, because you know that's going to offend him, and you're eating it anyway. Destroy. That word destroy, that's a strong word, you know. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. It was Christ died for him. And he's a child of God. And you're destroying him because you're demanding your liberty. I can eat whatever I want. You don't like it, get over it. That's not right. You see? That's not right. Now, some people say, well, that word destroy, you don't got to take it so literally. Why not? I think we should take it literally. The same exact word is used in Matthew 10, verse 28. Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You get that? Fear God. Don't fear man. The worst man can do is kill you. He says, fear God. He's able to kill us. He's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Same word, destroy. I lifted up as many references to that word destroy. Same word in the Greek, same word in the English, same word. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the devil does. And then he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So that word destroy is a strong word. Spurgeon, the great preacher from England, said, you have liberty to do as you please, but do not use that liberty if it would be mischievous to your brother in Christ. If your action, though right in itself, would have a tendency to destroy his soul, deny yourself for love's sake. There you go. That's a perfect explanation of this passage here. There you go. He says, you have liberty to do as you please, but don't use your liberty if it's going to hurt your brother. If your action, though right in itself, you're perfectly right in doing that, or reading that, or whatever, but if it has a tendency to destroy your brother's soul, then deny yourself. Deny yourself that privilege. Deny yourself that pleasure. Deny yourself that meal for love's sake. Deny yourself for love's sake. I like that statement. A certain thing may be right in itself, yet if indulging in it is harmful to a Christian brother, then that indulgence would be a violation of the law of love. Now, going back to chapter 14, verse 13. Romans 14:13. Let no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So we got to be careful of that. I don't want to put a stumbling block in somebody's way. You shouldn't want to do that too. People are watching us. People observe us. Be careful. You know, we're not putting a stumbling block in front of them. William MacDonald said, love forgoes its legitimate rights in order to promote the welfare of a brother. In other words, if we really are operating on this principle of love, this doctrine of love, the law of love, then we are going to forego, give up certain rights in order to promote the welfare of the weaker brother. Verse 16, Romans 14, 16 says, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of." Now what does that mean? Well, that good would refer to your liberty. It's a wonderful thing to have this liberty. I'm glad we're not under the law. I'm glad we have freedom and liberty. But let not then your good, your liberty regarding meats or holy days, whatever, be evil spoken of. That is, by reason of the evil it does to others. It can have an evil effect on others. Well, I spent a lot of time with that. I'm going to have to move on now. So we have here an earnest exhortation. Here's another thing we see here in the text. We have to have the right attitude. And I've kind of touched upon that. I think the right attitude is being considerate of others, not putting a stumbling block in front of them, being willing to give something up. Verse 17, Romans 14, 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Then what is it? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So we have to have our priorities right. What is more important? Think about it now. What's more important? Meat and drink, or righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? Well, obviously, we all know the answer to that. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, Romans 14, verse 17 says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink." The kingdom of God, that term is used different ways in the New Testament. In this context, the kingdom of God is the spiritual sphere where God is acknowledged. Now, as you leave this building and you go out into the world, and you'll know, you recognize this, God's word is not recognized, it's not read, it's not obeyed, it's not appreciated, it's ignored, right? And the Holy Spirit is something that's not real to them. God is not real to them. So the kingdom of God in this context is the spiritual sphere where God and God's word is acknowledged. It's the heavenly sphere. The heavenly sphere of life in which God's word and God's Holy Spirit govern. That's the kingdom of God. So Paul says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see? So in other words, he's saying the essence of Christianity is not meat and drink. The essence of Christianity is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, Christianity is internal, not external. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. W.H. Griffith Thomas said, "This is the true attitude of the genuine man of God. And the life thus lived with constant regard to helpfulness to our fellow Christians will have the twofold effect of being acceptable to God and approved of men." Now, regarding that statement, being acceptable to God and approved of men, I'd like to draw your attention to verse 18. "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." So we have to have the right attitude. We have to have our priorities right. And if we go by these principles taught here, we'll find that what we're doing is acceptable to God and approved of men. The Christian life must be lived in the light of the Lordship of Christ. That is so important. If you look at verse 8, "For whether we live unto the Lord." Can you mark that? If you'd like to mark your Bible, mark those words, "unto the Lord." "For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." So what this is saying is that the Christian life, the real Christian life, not the phony Christian life, you know, everybody in America says, "I'm a Christian," but it's not real to them. The true Christian life must be lived in the light of the Lordship of Christ.
Amen.
The Christian life should be lived in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. We have to keep that in mind. We're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to give an account to God. So the Christian life must be lived in the light of the Lordship of Christ and the light of the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Well, why dost thou sin against thy brother? For we shall all of us, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And look at verse 12. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So the Christian life must be lived in the light of the Lordship of Christ. The Christian life should be lived in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. Hey, the Christian life should be lived in the light of love.
Amen.
Look at verse number 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. We're to walk charitably. We're not to be uncharitable. The Christian life must be lived in the light of love. We already spent time in chapter 13 with the law of love, and I'm not going to go over that again. The Christian life should be lived in the light of the cross. Alright? So the Christian life must be lived in the light of the cross. Look at verse 15. Destroy not him with thy meat, watch this, for whom Christ died. He died on the cross for that weaker brother who you have offended by arrogantly asserting your rights, selfishly demanding your rights, and you've offended him. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Beloved, this is the proper Christian attitude. The third point. Earnest exhortation, having the right attitude. Thirdly, an urgent necessity. We need to have our priorities right. Verse 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace. So obviously, if you're considerate of your neighbor, your fellow Christian, you're mindful of him, and you don't want to offend him, then you're following after the things that make for peace. See? Not discord, not trouble. No, things that make for peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. As Christians, we edify one another. That's why coming to church is so important. We can encourage each other. We can edify one another. Verse 19. So we need to have our priorities right. Think about this. Verse 20. For meat destroy not the work of God. I want to ask this question regarding our priorities. What is more important? A piece of meat or the work of God? Obviously the work of God. You see? What's our priorities? He says here, from me, destroy not the work of God. It's far better to abstain from certain things that might trouble the conscience of a weaker brother than to cause him to stumble by insisting on our liberty and demanding our liberty, then if that's our priorities are right. You see? It's far better to abstain from certain things. Go back to chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubt from his petitions. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and the other who's weak eateth herbs. So it's better to try to abstain from meat on certain occasions and eat a herbs if it's going to make him happy. You know, if a weaker brother stumbles through us, then really we're responsible for his failure. Ever thought about that? I've thought about that many, many times over the years. Not just in this context, in other contexts as well. You know, Carl and I were talking about this earlier today. You get a guy in a church like ours, and he's brought his wife, he's brought his kids, he's brought his uncle, he's brought relatives, and then he goes back into the world. What kind of testimony is that for all those relatives? He's put a stumbling block in front of them. They're not going to come back to church now. They're going to say, well, he seemed pretty excited about it, but I guess it wasn't real. He's going back to the world now. You see, I think about this all the time. We don't want to cause others to fail. We want to lead them the right way. To go on for God. Not to go back into the world. So if a weaker brother stumbles through us, then we really are responsible for his failure. Look at verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Beloved, as Christians, we cannot live for self. I like that old story about William Booth when he couldn't make it to a convention. And they were so disappointed he couldn't come. And they said, at least send a message along. He sent a telegram. And they waited and they brought the message up to the platform. and the speaker up at the platform opened up the telegram and read one word, others. Others. That was how William Booth operated. That's how he lived. That's how he conducted his ministry. Just thinking about others.
Amen.
That's so important. We cannot live for self. We have to live for others. You probably heard that acronym. It's kind of simple, but there's a lot to it. You want joy?